Our first presenter is Cindy Torvac. She comes to us from Morgantown, West Virginia University, where she's an assistant professor at the Mary Babb Randolph Cancer Center. And she's going to be talking about access and utilization of nicotine replacement therapy provided by the Maine Tobacco Helpline among smokers. Well, I just want to mention, too, we're going to take questions at the end of each speaker, if they have time.
Hello, everyone. This was some work that I did when I was in Maine before I went to West Virginia University. And my co-authors on this were Amy Haskins and Susan Woods. I have no financial disclosures. Okay. So in 2002, the Maine Tobacco Helpline began offering free NRT therapy, patch or gum, to adult smokers who were uninsured without NRT benefits. And the goal of this was to actually help provide nicotine replacement therapy for smokers in Maine who otherwise would not have access to it, and also to encourage calls to the helpline. They offered NRT patch or gum 8 weeks or 4 weeks of each. And again, this was to those who were uninsured or had no benefit for NRT medication. They had to be willing to have proactive follow-up calls through the helpline. The caller could choose any pharmacy in Maine, and these requests were electronically submitted to pharmacy benefit management companies. And again, the goals were providing access, decreasing barriers to NRT, encouraging smokers to call the helpline, and really to provide an effective way for helpline callers to receive and use this NRT medication. And we wanted to assess their experience with that, assess their satisfaction, look at patterns of NRT use, and look at some short-term outcomes of offering this program. So this is the Maine Tobacco Helpline number, and it is sponsored through the Partnership for a Tobacco-Free Maine. And the helpline reaches actually quite a few Maine smokers. 90% of callers are tobacco users, 90% speak to a helpline specialist, 26% are uninsured, and 21% are Medicaid recipients. And I'll just mention, we actually did this study in 2005 after the program had been launched for about 3 years. Subsequent to that, they actually increased the tobacco tax in Maine. So just a little FYI, calls did really, really start to increase at the end of 2005 and access and utilization. We did our study right before that time period kicked in. Okay, the objective was again to assess knowledge utilization patterns, short-term outcomes, and satisfaction among Maine Tobacco Helpline callers who received free NRT from any Maine pharmacy. Quit lines have an impact on smoking cessation, and of course when NRT is combined with behavioral therapy, that's shown to have even more effectiveness in terms of quitting outcomes. And again, the study was conducted to really better understand how helpline callers and users of the NRT medication were accessing the therapy, and if this could actually be effective in helping them quit. So we contracted with Critical Insights in Portland, Maine, who are a market research company. They did telephone surveys in June to July 2005 with 541 eligible helpline callers who were authorized for free NRT between February to March 2005. Computer-assisted telephone interviewing methods were used, and up to 12 attempts were made to contact each eligible respondent. Okay, eligible helpline callers, who were they? They were Maine residents who consented to a follow-up call when they were registered for the helpline. So you call into the helpline, they take your information, and then you have to agree to this series of follow-up behavioral counseling calls. They were greater than or equal to 18 years old, not pregnant, and did not have a heart attack within the past 2 months. And this shows you, unfortunately I don't have a pointer, but this shows you the progression of the sample. There were 604 eligible helpline callers targeted. They received free NRT February to March 2005. We had 63 callers drop out of the study sample. They could not be contacted. They had either disconnected phones, wrong numbers, or business government numbers. And that left us with 541 eligible helpline callers who were contacted, and we were able to complete 393 interviews with those callers for a 73% response rate. Looking at survey demographics, you can see that a majority of the survey respondents were 41 to 60. Very, very small percentage in the 18 to 24 year range, which is not surprising given the use of helplines in general by younger smokers. In terms of gender, there were slightly more females than males, and a majority of the respondents did have at least a high school education, and a majority also had health insurance. Okay, how did you, we're going to talk about some results now. In terms of program knowledge, we asked them, how did you become aware of available free NRT? Kind of interesting, you can see that 35.7% became aware through friend or family, and 13.3% became aware through word of mouth. So really, almost half of the people who called the helpline became aware of this through more of an informal communication method, which I think is kind of interesting to note. There were about 20% who became aware through media and ads, about 18% through a health professional, could be, you know, a counselor or a physician, about close to 10% through the workplace, and then about 3% other don't know. Okay, we also wanted to know, how much did availability of free NRT influence your decision to contact the helpline? You can see that really 3/4 of the respondents said that it very much influenced their decision to call the helpline. Another 20% said it somewhat influenced their decision to call the helpline. So If you take that together, that's about 95% that either very much or somewhat were influenced to call the helpline through the offer of the free NRT medication. So in terms of encouraging callers to the helpline, this suggested that that was an effective way to do that. Looking at the patterns of NRT in terms of type of NRT used, you can see that the vast majority of the callers did use and receive the patch. A small percentage, about 9%, gum. A very, very small percentage, about 2%, used patch and gum. And then another very, very small percent, I think 1.5%, did not pick up their NRT. This is going to be looking at patterns of NRT use. And I'm actually going to start from the bottom and work my way up. You can see that, again, 98.5% did pick up the NRT from their pharmacy of choice. So a very, very small percentage did not pick up NRT. Used NRT since calling the helpline. Of the callers that did pick up their NRT, 95% actually used it since calling the helpline. No problems obtaining NRT, 91.2% reported no problems obtaining it. Interrupted NRT use during treatment, 27.7% reported that they at some point during their course of NRT treatment did stop and start using NRT again. And then 12.3% reported that they smoked while using NRT. Okay, 38.8% of helpline callers reported some sort of side effect or problem from using the NRT medication, and the most common among those who reported a side effect or problem was abnormal dreams, followed by skin irritation, trouble sleeping, upset stomach, dizziness, headache, and then other. Looking at NRT side effects or problems by gender, this was not statistically significant. You can see that a slightly higher percentage of females versus males reported side effects or problems by gender. And NRT side effects or problems by age, this actually was statistically significant. You can see that the younger users actually did have significantly more NRT side effects or problems reported by age. So 18 to 24 year olds had 65.5% of them who reported a problem, where 18 to 24, 43.5% were 25 to 44. Okay, short-term quitting. Quit for at least 24 hours since calling the helpline. You can see out of those who used NRT, about 92% reported that they did quit for at least 24 hours since calling the helpline, which is actually a very high percentage. Abstinent past 7 days at time of survey, about 50%. So about 50% at the time they were surveyed, which was approximately 3 months after they initially received their NRT medication, about half reported that they had been abstinent for at least a period of 7 days. Okay, in terms of satisfaction, we asked how helpful was the Maine Tobacco Helpline. 65.6% reported that it was very helpful. We also asked how satisfied were you with your overall experience, and 88.2% reported they were very satisfied. So in terms of satisfaction, we saw actually very high rates of overall satisfaction, and also people who felt that the Maine Tobacco Helpline was very helpful to them in getting the NRT medication and in using it during a quit attempt. Okay, to conclude, this state-supported NRT program did successfully encourage Maine smokers to contact the helpline. Smokers are successfully obtaining and using NRT. They have high satisfaction related to both the process and the overall service provided. And in conclusion, the program did demonstrate a valuable opportunity for Quitline services to increase demand and provide access to NRT for use during serious quit attempts. So it did meet the needs and the expectations of the callers that we surveyed. And again, I'd like to acknowledge my co-authors, Amy Haskins and Susan Woods, and acknowledge the Partnership for a Tobacco-Free Maine that provided funding for the study. Thank you. And I have time for a few questions if there are any.
You mentioned that the callers had to agree to follow-up calls. What did those entail?
Those were follow-up counseling sessions. So basically, if you called the tobacco helpline, you agreed to, it was 4 follow-up counseling sessions from the helpline. So they would actually, after following the initial counseling session, they would proactively follow up, you know, to call you, check and see how you were doing with your NRT medication, and continue to provide behavioral counseling and therapy.
This is a setup to the audience for my presentation later, as I'll be addressing youth use of the California Helpline. What is your explanation for the lack of popularity among youth in using the Maine Quitline?
I don't think that it's really, at least at this point, really marketed and presented well to youth. I think that they view a helpline as something that older adults would use, or equate it with almost like a crisis line, or, you know, again, I've been involved with some youth smoking cessation work, and a lot of them, you know, are cold turkey. They're not looking at assisted quitting methods as a way to really help them quit. A lot of them don't feel that they're really addicted. So I think it's a combination of those factors, but I think probably in this case one of the biggest factors is marketing and advertising the quit line and gearing it towards youth to attract that segment of the population. The state actually did. This was a program that was actually supported by and funded by the state of Maine through the Partnership for Tobacco Free Maine. So in other words, their tobacco dollars went directly to support this. So yeah, I don't know if you can try to work with people from your state to. Exactly. And I think that was part of the goal of this whole initiative, to try to really make the NRT available and then to try to advertise that informally and formally to get callers to use the helpline, you know, if they wanted to obtain that. It was basically a bonus to encourage them to call. Yeah, that's a really good point. Thank you very much.